Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a Q&A, so I've pooled in questions from my Instagram and from Snapchat as well. So if you're not following me on those platforms, all the questions that come into the podcast come in through my Snapchat, BrianK019, and my Instagram, Brian Keane Fitness. They're my two major platforms at the minute. Spending a lot of time on both of those with Q&As. Still loving Snapchat. I know a couple of people have came off it. I know a couple of people have signed up because they're coming back on it. So be sure to check me out on there on top of Instagram. So first question comes in from Sammy Kane on Instagram. I'm tracking macros, but it's really taking its toll on me mentally. Any tips? Okay, so this is something that I've kind of changed my mind about over the last 18 months or so. I was very, very dogmatic and very one-sided in my approach to tracking macros, and that I felt that people should probably lean towards clean eating more so than tracking macros. And I love the Charlie Munger quote. Charlie Munger is Warren Buffett's right-hand man, and Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger own Berkshire Hathaway, who own Coca-Cola. They're two of the richest people on the planet. They're both billionaires. And Charlie Munger says that you shouldn't have an opinion on something unless you can argue the opposite side better than people standing on that side. And that's kind of how I felt about tracking macros for a period of time. And now I'm right back in the middle again, and I'm a lot more objective on it. The truth is, tracking macros is very much down to the individual and what works best for you. Some people work tremendously well tracking every single macro and actually feel less stressed because they know exactly what they're putting into their bodies. Other people, which sounds like Sammy, sounds like you, and it sounds how I am, get more stressed out if we actually miss our macros, and it has the reverse effect where there's too much cortisol and too much stress in our body because we missed our macros, we missed our carbs, or we missed some form of timing, and as a result, we're way more stressed out, which is going to have a more negative effect on losing body fat and body composition than even overeating by 10 or 20 calories is going to do, because cortisol is the figurative death by a thousand cuts. If you're in a constant state of stress, your body isn't going to be able to, and short-term cortisol is great. We get it when we train. We get that release when we train. It's something that kept us alive thousands of years ago if you were being chased by a saber-toothed tiger. But chronic cortisol, chronic stress is the figurative death by a thousand cuts. So if you're finding that you're tracking your macros and it's making you taxed mentally and you're stressing out, you may be better not tracking your macros every single day. So what I advise, and I've got people that come through my BKF online program, particularly my top 50 program, where me and my coach Emma work with people, it's very much down to the person. For example, the nutritional plan in that program, there's various different nutritional plans depending on each person's goal, a clean eating strategy, a carb cycling strategy. Depending on each person's goal, the plan will be based around you. But what I found has worked, and this is one of the reasons that there's so much interaction with people coming through those programs, is because some people find that they get stressed out tracking macros, and some people find they get less stressed out when they track macros. I've calculated everything in those programs, and most trainers, most online programs will do. They'll calculate all the macros, they'll calculate all the calories, so you know exactly what you're consuming. Because the truth is, it is important to have some idea of intake that you're taking in. If you're trying to lose body fat and your maintenance calories is 2,000 and you're eating 4,000 every day, realistically, you're not going to lose body fat, and you're probably going to add more body fat or weight onto your frame. So I would advise that to understand what you're consuming is important, but then if you find you're getting taxed mentally tracking every meal, it's then just putting it to a side and realizing, okay, well, that's what 50 grams of rice looks like. And whether you're up 10 or up or down 10 grams of rice each day, the relaxation that you're going to get and the less stressed out you're going to get as a result from not tracking every macro is probably going to have a more beneficial term in terms of long-term body composition for you. So what I would advise anybody listening here is reverse engineer you. Find what works best for you. Do you get less stressed when you know exactly how many calories and macros you're eating? Or do you get more stressed if you end up missing some and you're put out of whack and you can't sleep because you can't focus on all the other meals that you got right during the day, and you're just caught up on the fact that you missed out on 50 grams of carbs later on in the evening when you were supposed to have them post-workout, and that's stressing you out, in that case, you may be better not to track your macros at all. So my advice would be reverse engineer you. If you find tracking macros works for you, then do it. If you find that not tracking macros work for you, just have an idea of what you're consuming, go onto a plan, create your own plan so you have an idea, and then stick with that and stick with a clean eating strategy where you're not tracking it into MyFitnessPal or in whatever app you're using in every single meal. Okay, next question comes in from AlanO'Neill28 on Instagram. Brian, what's your opinion on training through muscle soreness, i.e. training chest when it's still sore? Okay, this one comes in pretty regularly on my Snapchat Q&As. The truth is, I can argue that both sides of this equally well. There's been a lot of scientific research to show that if you train a muscle while it's still sore and you haven't given it optimal time to recover, you're not going to get maximum hypertrophy in that muscle, which means that you're not going to build as much size. You're not going to get as many fiber tears, or else you're going to over fatigue the muscle and it'll actually not grow as a result. However, on the other side, there's been other studies to show that you can do the same body part 3-4 days in a row with muscle soreness and it will still grow provided your nutrition, your recovery and your rest is good. So one of the things that I love so much about science, and I actually have a bit of a love-hate with it, is regardless of what your goal is, you're going to find a study that's going to be able to support that. I remember when I released my book, The Fitness Mindset, which was a bestseller in 8 weeks for Amazon, and actually last week went back up on the bestseller list again. I remember I sent my book to my sister, who's a PhD. She's a lecturer at Northumbria University in Newcastle. And all the scientific bits I talked in there about the energy systems for alcohol, carbs, glucose, glycogen, I sent everything over there to her and asked, look, is everything the most up to date? Have I got the research back? Because I was using the Harvard studies, and I was using different PubMed and different systems online for studies that were going to back up and support my ideas. And what her exact words to me were, you can find a piece of evidence or study that's probably going to support whatever claim you make if you search hard enough. And that's coming from someone who makes her living in the science world. And that gave me a lot more clarity in terms of answering questions like this on muscle soreness. The truth is, you're going to find support, your claims and studies that support and negate the effects. I would advise trying to find out what works best for you and then doubling down on that. The truth is, if you're training chest on a Monday and then you train it again on a Wednesday and you can't lift any weight because the muscle is too sore, you're probably better to leave it another 24 or 48 hours before you train that muscle again. However, you may find that because you train that chest or glutes or legs on a Monday and then again on a Tuesday or Wednesday, you get a ferocious pump because you're just pushing new blood into that muscle and you have a better workout as a result, that may actually work for you better long term. For example, I know myself that if I do chest on a Monday and then follow it up again on a Tuesday, I always have a better chest workout the following day because it's just pushing new blood into that muscle, and as a result I have a better mind muscle connection. I end up tearing more fibers down, and then providing my nutrition, recovery and sleep is all on point, I end up growing more muscle as a result. So the truth is, personally, I'm a fan of training with muscle soreness. I love it, but I'm not saying it's the right way to do it. I would see how your body responds. If it's negatively affecting your workouts, then you probably overtrained that muscle and you should wait another 24, 48, 72 hours. Or if you find you're having a way better workout the second time round, you're getting a much better pump, you're improving your mind-muscle connection where you can feel your mind and the muscle, then I would definitely do and train around with muscle soreness and make it work for you. Okay, next question comes in from Helen Desar on Instagram. What is your opinion on keto? Okay, so again, like most things, I can argue both sides heavily on keto. I'm a massive fan of keto for people that have made the decision to drop into full ketosis, who want an unlimited energy source, who want to be very clear in their brain, but don't mind sacrificing the lifestyle changes that come with it. So for example, for anyone that doesn't know, the keto diet is effectively where you put your body into full ketosis. It's where you switch from using glucose as your primary energy source to using ketones as your primary energy source. It's kind of like petrol or diesel for your car. The only difference is if you can go into ketosis, it's like running your car on unlimited petrol. If you're running off ketones, that's why a lot of endurance athletes try and go into full ketosis, is because you don't really run out of energy because you're constantly supplying your body with ketones. where glucose runs out and you need to top it up. So in terms of practicality, in terms of fitting it into training, it can work incredibly well for making you feel clearer in your brain, giving you better energy. I did keto probably 3 years ago for probably over 6 or 7 months coming in and out of ketosis. And when I was in ketosis, I felt incredible. Like you feel really, really clear, and your skin gets really clear, your brain isn't fogged, and you've got very, very good steady energy. However, those 3, 4, 5 days, it takes about 10 to 14 days to drop into full ketosis. Those 3, 4, 5 days leading up are a nightmare because you're dropping your calories down, you're dropping your fats down, or you're dropping your carbohydrates, down, you're dropping your protein down, because your body can convert protein to glucose. It's called gluconeogenesis. So you need to have a pretty low protein diet. One of the myths in the fitness industry is, oh, I'm doing the keto diet and they've got 300 grams of protein. Realistically, you're probably not going into ketosis if you've got 200 or 300 grams of protein, because your body will convert those, that protein, particularly if you don't have a lot of carbohydrates, it'll convert those and you'll use them for glucose, and then you won't be able to drop into ketosis. To get into ketosis, you want to have your fats around 80%, again, 75 to 85% depending on the person, and then the rest comes from protein, and your carbs are around 0 to 5% of your complete intake. There's a great book, and I forget the author's name, it's called Keto Clarity, which I recommend. It's a pretty short book for anyone that's thinking about going into full ketosis, and we'll just break down some of the misconceptions. And there's a great section on myths that people have on what keto is and how to get into ketosis. So I would check that out for sure if it's something you're considering. But those 4 or 5 days in the lead up to dropping into ketosis, you know, I was walking around like a zombie. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't write. My training sessions were bad. And then when I got into ketosis, I felt amazing, but it was so easy to knock myself out. If I had too much protein, I fell out of ketosis. If I went out for a few drinks with my friends, I fell out of ketosis. If I had a free meal or a cheat meal, I fell out of ketosis. So in terms of long-term practicality, I don't know if it fits into most people's lifestyles. However, if you've made a decision to go full hog with it and you're fully committed to dropping into ketosis and trying to stay there, and you're not worried about nights out for a few drinks, you're not worried about ever having your free meals or your biscuits or whatever it is again that you enjoy, and you're not worried about those things, and you're ready to commit your life to falling into ketosis and staying on a keto diet long term, then I think it can work tremendously well. Again, like most things, it's about trialing it, experimenting with it, and seeing how it fits. If it works for you, double down on it. If it doesn't, cut it. Personally, I realistically wouldn't do it long term, because right now I wouldn't be prepared to give up my weekend ice cream with Holly, my daughter, my 2-year-old. I wouldn't be prepared to give up the high protein to speed up my recovery so that I can keep my muscle on my frame. And I wouldn't be prepared to make those sacrifices right now. So personally, I wouldn't do it. But it's got to be down to your decision on whether you decide to do it and whether you decide to commit to it long term. But what I would advise is picking up that book, Keto Clarity, having a read of that, and then making your decision after. Okay, next question comes in from David Sheehan, 23. Brian, how can I build confidence and voice projection? Okay, I'm going to answer this in two parts, because confidence and voice projection aren't necessarily the same thing, but there's a little bit of overlap that if you have a lack of confidence, it can project itself into having a low tone in your voice. So confidence and lack of confidence shows up in a lot of different ways for people. I've answered this in other podcasts in the past about how to build confidence, and the truth is, in the majority of cases, and speaking from my own personal experience, when I've had my own issues with my own confidence from, you know, being slated by my family and people telling me I couldn't do something, one of the reasons that I'm so vocal and verbal and animated when people tell me that, oh, my mom or my dad or my family or my friends said I couldn't do or shouldn't do something, I get very animated on that because I had a lot of lack of self-confidence from people very, very close to my life. With the exception of my mom, the people closest in my life call me everything from stupid to an idiot when I left my teaching job. They weren't very supportive in the things that I did. And I had a lot of confidence issues and self-esteem issues as a result. I was very fortunate that I always had my mom supporting what I did. And I was able to use that and help me get on to doing the things that I'm doing now and living the life that I'm living. But confidence largely comes down from making a decision to do something and then doing it regardless of what anybody else thinks. And the example that I always use is when I made my jump from being a full-time teacher and starting my own fitness business, I was met with a lot of resistance from people that were very close to me. And when I started to actually make more money working as a trainer than I was as a teacher, it built a lot of confidence in me. And then that grew and grew and grew when the book came out, when the podcast was number one, when I bought a new car and I got a house, all of these things that people look like subjective success from the outside. And the same people that told me I was stupid and an idiot were congratulating me, telling me that they knew I was going to do it. A lot of confidence internally came from me was realizing that those people didn't support me. And when I went out the other side and did it anyway, and then came out the other side and seeing how their opinions and perspectives changed, I had more confidence in every area of my life, because how you do anything is how you do everything. And I was able to take that reference point in my life for everything that I do. I remember the first time I stepped on stage to compete as a fitness model, I was terrified, because I was literally going up on stage. I had been dieting for 16 weeks. I was just absolutely terrified because I didn't know what to expect. And for me at the time, it seemed like the scariest thing in the world to compete as a competitive bodybuilder, as a fitness model on stage. And then when I did it and came out the other side, I had more confidence as a result. And I used that as another reference point. Confidence is kind of like legs on a table. The more times you set a goal and you hit it, the more legs you put to that table and the more confidence you get. So for anyone that's lacking confidence in all areas of their life, what I would advise you do is you set a target or a goal, regardless of how big or how small that is, and then you hit it, because that's what confidence comes from. Confidence comes from saying you're going to do something, even if it's in your head and you don't have to express it to the entire world, but saying to yourself that you're going to do something and then doing it. Confidence comes as a result. The more times you do that, the stronger the legs build. And then one of the reasons that I'm very fortunate now that I have the confidence and the mindset that I have is because I don't let other people's opinion of me become my reality anymore, because I have those reference points when people told me I shouldn't do something. I have those reference points when people call me an idiot and call me stupid and then change their opinions and perspectives out the other side. And realizing that when you set a target and set a goal, particularly big ones, and we all know the ones that we want to hit. For some, it's to hit a 5K. For others, it's to hit a 10K. For someone else, it's just to get into a relationship where they're happy. It's to leave their job and find something that's where their ladder's up against the right wall. It's relative. But we let society, we let our family, we let our friends, we let everybody tell us we can't do something, and we let their opinions become our reality. And then as a result, we never build our confidence because we keep living our lives by the way that people tell us we should, when we know there's other things in it that are bigger than us that we want to do. My advice is set your goals, set your targets, work towards them, and use FOCUS, the acronym for FOCUS, follow on one course until success. You do fucking everything until you hit that goal, you hit that target. And if you have to move the timeline, then you move the timeline. If you set it for 3 months and it takes you six, then it takes you six. You fail forward, you move forward. You use your obstacles as stepping stones. You don't let other people's opinion become your reality, and you set your targets, you set your goals, and you work towards it every single day. Surround yourself with the right people, consume the right information that supports that end goal of who you want to be and what you want to become, and build confidence as a result. Think of legs on a table. Every time you do something you said you were going to do to yourself, you're going to build another leg on that table until you build the confidence to go and do whatever it is that you want to do. The second part then for voice projection, largely if you fix the confidence issue that you have in life, as I said, how you do anything is how you do everything. When you fix the confidence, as a result, you can have voice projection because you're not worried about what other people are thinking about you. One of my most downloaded episodes of the podcast was how to stop caring what people think about you. And again, the only reason I'm able to offer advice on that is because it's something I struggled with for so long. I love the Theodore Roosevelt quote, "The comparison is the thief of joy." And I went through my life putting my happiness into external things, into what other people thought of me, and all of these other things that I had to deal with myself. And as a result, I was less confident in everything that I did, and I was comparing myself with what other people were doing. When you focus on the things that you want to do and you focus on the person that you want to become, your voice projection, everything translates. How you do anything is how you do everything. So what I would advise you do is build the confidence, whatever it is that's stopping you, setting the targets that you want to achieve. And as a result, when you stop caring what other people think and you stop caring what their opinions are, you're going to be able to project your voice much clearer in every scenario, whether that's at the top of a room, whether that's to give a speech at a wedding, or whether that's just to talk to another girl or another guy in a club where you feel nervous talking to the opposite sex. Okay, next question comes in from Anonymous on Snapchat. Should I take a year off to go to Oz or save my money and do a master's degree? Okay, so the reason I'm answering this question is a lot of us have situations in life where we feel we have to choose between option A or option B, and we don't know which one we should do. The truth is, the way that we're designed as people, and I've done this myself, is regardless of what decision you make, you're going to be damned if you do and damned if you don't, because you're always going to wonder what would happen if I had made the other decision. So if you decide to go to Oz, you're going to be going to Oz, and there's going to be times when you wonder, oh, maybe I should have stayed at home and did a master's degree and start climbing my ladder of my of where I want to be in terms of my employment. And if you stay at home and do a master's, you're going to be wondering, maybe I should have gone to Oz, the people I would have met, the experiences I would have had. And you're going to wonder which one should you, have you made the right decision or did you make a mistake? That's basic human nature. We all do it in every area. The one thing I would offer here is I base my life philosophy off that if the decision is between A and B or both, I always choose both. So in this context, what I would do is, if you have that as an option where you can literally do both and have the best of both worlds, I would always choose both. Sometimes we can't see the forest amongst the trees and we can only see the situation from one angle. It's why hearing opposing views or hearing other views from people that are outside of it that are a lot more objective can help support us, because we can only see it in one way. What I would do in this exact context, and I'm by no means saying this is what you should do, but this is exactly what I would do if this was the situation I was in. I would literally take my year off. I would go out to Australia. I would have an amazing time. The person you will become, the experiences you will have, and all the things you will learn over that year is going to support you becoming a better version of you, and is going to support you long term in your life. But what I would do is the job I'm working, I would start putting money aside week by week so that when I come back after a year, I go straight into my master's and then I get that done, and then you start climbing the ladder against the wall of whatever it is that you want to do in your employment. I would literally do both. If I have the option between A or B or both, I always choose both. In that context, I would go to Australia. I would have an incredible year. I would start putting money aside and then I would come back and I would do my master's and I would have the best of both worlds. And that's something I would advise anybody here that's struggling between two decisions, struggling between should they go to college, should they work, struggling between should they go abroad, should they stay at home, struggling between whatever A and B decision you have to make. Look at it from all sides. Pull yourself out of it objectively and ask yourself the honest question, can you do both? And if you can do both, my advice is always do both. Okay, that's everything from today's episode. So a massive thank you again. For more information about me, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. There's information on my top 50, my GA youth program, and my GA lean body program is all on there. My best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is on Amazon, the Book Depository, and Dubry bookstores in Ireland and selected bookstores in the UK. Snapchat is BrianK019. Massive thank you to Cormac Vox Honor for putting together all the podcast episodes. Catch you soon.